Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Now, as we go into the new year, one of the things that must be of importance, of great value to us, our life matters, is a family, right? And we're going to be having then a special dedication on a weekly basis to talk family and relationships. Today, we're looking at a question that I think every parent should have asked themselves or should ask themselves from time to time. Is my child depressed? You know, it's normal for kids rather to feel sad, and we're not saying be worried every time they feel grouchy and in bad mood at times, right? But when in a sad or bad mood lasts for weeks or longer, or when there's a sudden draft change, then perhaps there's a cause for concern. When there are other behavioral changes that are attached to this child's actions, it might be concerning to a parent or a caregiver. And so in today's conversation, Mvunisi Pani will be joining us as we look at some of the signs that your child may be experiencing that are more than just a bad mood. Mvunisi, good afternoon to you and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon and greetings to all the listeners. Compliments of the new season. It's good to be here.
Yes, indeed. We are doing okay. Compliments to you and your family as well. And we praise the Lord for bringing you over.
Thank you. Thank you. Blessings to you too.
Marvelous. Marvelous. Thank you, Pastor, for accepting our invitation and for joining us as we discuss this very important subject, issues of family. I think this is quite profound.
Yes, and I'm glad that we are dealing with this topic. It's a serious one, and it seems to have a significant prevalence rate. It affects a number of people, a number of families.
And we're going to be touching
something that needs to be discussed.
100%.
Yes, I'm glad that we are addressing it.
Certainly, Mfundisi, because the consequences can actually be dire, and we're going to touch a bit about that as well. Now we pointed out that, you know, it's normal. I mean, human beings are created with emotions, and it's something that would be concerning if you're always exhibiting only one type of emotion. If you're always jovial, Muruti, we might tend to be a bit worried as well. So bad moods are not a problem, but how are you able to differentiate if the child is just having a bad mood or a rough period, and this issue of depression, this extended period of morose, how do we know which is which, especially as parents, because we're not trained psychologists like yourselves as people of the clergy or even professionals?
So when symptoms prevail, you know, same symptoms prevail over a certain period of time, then there's reason to be concerned. You are correct that it's normal if one goes through or one, you know, exhibits, you know, some of you know, some sadness for an hour, for a day, you know, in the morning, in the evening. But when such symptoms, you know, and one has them for more than 2 weeks, and then there is a reason to be concerned. You know, that person may have depression. So in families, as parents, as children, as members of different families, it's important for us to be observant, to notice these things, you know, because because sometimes someone has, you know, these symptoms, but they don't know what is going on.
True.
They are confused themselves.
True.
But when we are five in the family, when we are three, when we are two, you know, one is able to say, wait a minute, this has been going on for long. What's going on? This has been going on for a week, for 2 weeks. Maybe we should be concerned and attend to this thing.
Hmm. Certainly. So at least 2 weeks, if you can see about 2 weeks and this thing is persisting, be a bit more concerned. Thank you for
be
that.
Be concerned.
Boss. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe let's talk about some of those symptoms. When you look at, and I don't know if it's similar to adults as well, you know, they usually point out a couple of things to say, if you can tick a majority of these boxes, then you must be perhaps looking to visit a mental health practitioner.
Yeah.
How does depression manifest in children? Is it the same as in adults, or do we see some other things that we can point out as kids are living their lives? One of them, which you're pointing out, is this idea of sadness. But sometimes depression doesn't point out a sadness, right? Sometimes someone is jovial, overly excited, and one who can say, hey, ngathi kunenkinga lana. Talk to us, how does it manifest?
Yeah. So this is a mood disorder, and there are two extremes.
Okay.
One is negative. One can be overly happy, you know, and one can be overly sad, you know, hopeless. So it's a mood disorder with two extremes.
Okay.
But in the main, there are similar manifestations or symptoms that are common, you know, between adults, children, adolescents, but for children, because our focus for today is children, it will be, I think you've said it, you know, feeling, you know, grumpy, irritable, or someone may say, I'm feeling down, and this, you know, persist, this feeling down, feeling sad, persist, but also, not wanting to do things that a child normally does.
Okay.
They're usually playful. They're usually doing this. And you know, because this is your child. But there is now a change. They are not really interested in even seeing, you know, their friends or being with their friends. They don't want to be, you know, doing or engage in those normal day-to-day activities. Nice. There's just a switch, and this goes on for 2 weeks, and we need to be concerned. Another, you know, manifestation, not wanting to be apart from a parent or a caregiver.
Okay.
They just want to cling to their mother, to their father, or to their guardian. And this happens, you know, over a period of time. Being angry, you know, yelling, hitting, biting, or even damaging things. This is also a behavior that can be a manifestation of being depressed. Not doing well at school. Another one is not feeling hungry, or the opposite, eating too much.
Okay.
That can also be a symptom that there is something that needs to be attended to. You know, difficulty of finding it hard to concentrate also. They normally can watch a program or can do a certain thing or can attend to a certain thing. But when they can't or find it very difficult to concentrate, that can also be another symptom. And then you have physical symptoms, can be headaches, can be tiredness, muscle pains, changes in sleeping habits. In other cases, wetting the bed at night when the children are sleeping can also be some physical symptoms that there is depression there.
Fascinating. We've got a comment here to say how important is you saying if they are yelling. I mean, African homes are recognized by loud volumes. But I was thinking, you know what, if the kid, and I think one key thing, if I'm noticing, Mfundisi, that some of these things, it's noticing the change in the behavior.
Exactly. Yes. It's something unusual. Yeah, it's something that does not always happen.
Exactly.
It is impulsive. It's all of a sudden this child wants to damage things. All of a sudden there is this yelling that normally does not happen. And then, yes, we need to be concerned.
Certainly. And I think it's across the board. I mean, you're mentioning issues of sleep because like you say, the symptom, it's either sleeping too much or sleeping disruptedly. And you're like, okay, how do I know?
Eating too much or eating less.
Yes. Country, you're saying, no, it's about noticing the change. If they were, you know, they are no more eating pattern and then suddenly they are now eating the opposite. You're like, what happened here? Then you must be a bit concerned as a parent. I think that's very key. Now, Mvunisi, when you talk teenagers or adolescents, they're often known to be, you know, in this space, and that's sometimes classified as issues of puberty and so forth. How do parents then address these fluctuations, right, without allowing to disrespect or the spoiled brat behavior, with almost like an understanding that, you know, this child is kind of growing and there's a change in their mind? How can you notice the change in a period where change is expected as well? Can you tell, or you must just say, because that's what the challenge becomes. Sometimes you then write it off. Ah, it's a teenager, man. That's what they do. Can't you know this person is going through something else more?
Yeah, it's important to know the difference because there is a difference. Yes, some of you know when children grow up and they reach different stages. Yes, there are different habits, behaviors,
true,
you know, that take place. But some of them are normal, are positive.
Okay.
And they are to be expected. We need to be able to differentiate. Education is important. It's important for us to say this is a normal development of a child. When they are 12, when they are 6, this and that happens. But when it is a mental health issue, it is slightly different.
Okay.
I think also as a parent, it is also important to also know that some of these symptoms or manifestation, they can, one child can manifest all these different things that I have listed.
True.
With others, it can be one or two. With others, it can be one. But in the main, it is usually a couple of, you know, behaviors that manifest these changes that are unusual. So it's important for someone to when they are not sure, to consult and say, my child is doing this, or I see this in my child. Should I be concerned, or is this normal growth patterns for someone who is becoming a teenager, for someone who has just, you know, achieved a certain, you know, age, you know, things like that. I think it's important to read a lot, but to consult professionals. But don't leave things as they are, as you see them. And just go about, you know, rather overreact than don't act at all, because you may say, no, this is normal, when things are wrong. Seek help, consult, get advice, read about these things, and get yourself informed and educated so that you are able to help your child attend to these things in time and get the help that is needed.
Certainly. For instance, one thing that's coming out very important or poignant for me and cardinal across all the points you've been raising, from the symptoms and manifestations and how to deal with it, is that as a parent, especially as they come to these troubled years, the teenage years, that the parent, you cannot be a backseat parent. You must be very deliberate about it, be very involved, know your children so that you'll be able to pick up the change. Because sometimes if you're just complacent and lackadaisical about the approach, you won't be able to pick up that there's a difference, there's a change, and it won't really make a difference in your life. But if you know your child and know their patterns, you can be able to notice these things. And I think that's one underlying message that's always repeating as you're speaking. And I think that's one key thing to say, perhaps this year, parents, pay closer attention to your children and get a relationship with them. Get to know them.
Yeah. Be present, not only physically, because you have parents who are just there, but there is no engagement with their children. They provide, they do this and that, and we are happy about that. But we need to go a little bit more. Be involved with your child. Be observant. Speak to them. Listen to them. And you will tell when something is not right or something is amiss, and be able to do something. But also, when there is a when engagement with children is a norm, your child is also able to say, "Daddy, mommy, I am feeling some strangeness," you know. And sometimes they can't articulate because they're not sure what's going on. But as you engage, as you interact, you are able to say, maybe this thing needs us to see someone and speak to someone that can help us to make sense of it.
Certainly. And like we were saying earlier on, that sadly you would find that, especially as they are struggling and they're thinking they are there, because that's what happens, right? In the teenage years, in these formative years, a small thing is their whole life. For them, this is the biggest thing in the world, and they think, my life can't continue from here. And you end up finding some of them going as far as even taking their own lives. And that's really, really something that parents can be involved. And maybe let's wrap up with that, is it not, Mfundisi? Maybe before I get into my last comment, we get a comment coming through here on our WhatsApp line that kids only want to talk about anime and Peppa Pig. And I think as parents, get involved, get to know those animes and those Peppa Pigs, to have a conversation about what they want. You can't talk to them about bills and rent and all. They don't care about that, you know. They must engage with each other because we don't understand their language. I don't know, Mfundisi, maybe a response to that.
You are right, you know, because if what they are excited about are those things, and you engage, it means that you are interested in them, and that can be some kind of a gateway, because a conversation can start with these things that may be meaningless. But if you show an interest, that can develop and lead to them being able to see that, no, man, I can talk to this person even about serious things. And that opens up that space of being able to talk about pretty much anything, you know, with your children, and then being, you know, feeling comfort. But no, man, this person is not as serious. I can, you know, because what tends to happen is that children, there are things that they feel very comfortable discussing with their peers, with their friends, and others, you know, which are very serious with their parents. But we need to create an environment that is conducive for our children to approach us about pretty much anything, knowing that we will not be judged. You know, they will not shout at us, but they will listen. They will not think I'm now being a typical teenager manifesting wrongful behavior, you know, because I can be having, you know, I can be sick and needing my mother or my father to be able to attend to what I'm going through.
Certainly. And you don't want to be coming across as that lecturer. You only come and do the, whenever your voice is heard is when you're trying to lecture.
And very judgmental.
You don't want to be that. But so let's wrap it up. Maybe someone here is saying, you know what, you're describing my situation. I don't know what to do. Where can they get help? And I believe help is available.
Help is available. Of course, our first point is talking to God about it. Present your situation to God, and thank God that we have professionals. Please speak to a professional. Speak to your pastor, and if your pastor is trained in these things, please speak to them. But also speak to psychologists, speak to professional counselors. Make sure that they are registered. Make sure that they know what they are doing. Make sure that they subscribe to a certain, code of ethics, you know, because, you know, some of them, they are just independent and they are not accountable to anyone. But if they are registered, there's a certificate, there is a body that they belong to, Please, I recommend those. So check them out as you approach and make contact with them. Pray about it. Yes, speak to your pastor, but also speak to professionals.
Speak to your pastor, but also speak to, and I appreciate that, Mfundisi, because sometimes made of the cloth, think because they did counseling in their modules, therefore they are all the people need. But sometimes these things really need someone who can go a bit deeper. And like you're saying, if there's 100%. Option for professionals, do that. And I think really, really appreciate that from you as well. Muruti, thank you so much again for chatting to us. May God bless you, and we appreciate you. Have a blessed 2025, you and the family.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much. Blessings to you and to everyone.
Marvelous stuff. That's Pastor Mtunzi Pani talking to us this afternoon as we were looking at this idea of depression in children. If you're looking for help, it is there available. Talk to us here if you're struggling to say, where do I even begin? Get in touch with us here at Adventist World Radio. Get in touch with associations that are around. For example, if you're in South Africa, there's a community called SADAG, S-A-D-A-G. SADAG. Check out their numbers on the online platforms and get help. There is help available. Be it a parent, be it a child, and you are looking for something, you can get assistance.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.